Good morning and welcome to the Home Improvement Show. I'm Sue Smith and it is lovely to be here with you. And we've got Walter Assey on the line today. Hello, Walter.
Hello, Sue. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Walter is the president of Renovco, and he is here to answer your renovation questions or your questions about things that are going on in your house. We have a text line open and phone lines open to take your calls, 514-790-0800, 514-790-0800 is the number to call to get a hold of Walter, and you can text us your questions as well. Walter, let's start with landscaping, because this is the time of year when you can enjoy it if you've put some money or time into it.
I mean, it is getting to be very advanced in the season to start a major landscaping projects, but it's a now or never type of a thing, right? It is important for the value of the property, the curb appeal and everything, but more importantly, it's also important to do water management around the house as well. So there's a lot of planning. When you're planning a landscaping project, you have to plan as well to factor in, for example, gutter drains, preferably underground into a dry pit, or reslope the land the accurate way. If you do have any cracks, let's say in the asphalt or the pavers, it's important that you fix these before the winter sets in, because what happens in the winter, water gets in, it freezes, it expands, it contracts, so it just gets worse with time. So it's important to do that checklist. And it does pay in dividends if you do it the right way and plan it the right way as well.
So what kind of landscaping are you talking about? You're talking about like putting in pathways and or you talk. It sounds like you're talking about like putting in drainage and that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, anytime you are doing landscaping, drainage should always be part of your plan. And that's often forgotten because most of us, we tend to do the landscaping only factoring in, in our head to beautify the place and make it more cozy. But because that's the excavators are there and because the labor is there, it's very minimal the cost for you to put in a window well because, your land is too close to the window or to reslope the land the proper way or to do drains for gutters. So what I'm trying to say is, yeah, it is to beautify the place, but do make a master plan of also how you can improve the water management. Now, the whole tendency now to think of water management just because of the weather patterns have been changing. So when it comes even to roofs or gutters or landscaping or even your foundation, your plumbing, your sump pump, it's everything have to be geared to that. We're seeing the weather patterns change drastically. They're changing fast. We're getting torrential rains a lot more often than we used to.
Yeah.
So I know now a lot of people are planning to start after the holidays a lot of the landscaping project. And typically August is a month where gets to be very popular because they would have enjoyed a bit of their backyard in the first half of the summer, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So before they undertake the big projects. But that's why I'm saying do not do that mistake. If you are in the process of starting or planning, just think about these things and have a good discussion. I mean, a good landscaper would actually discuss these things with you ahead of time. Because most homeowners do not think about it as they're planning. If you're putting a pool and you have an excavator and you know that you have a negative slope on the other side of your house, kind of take advantage of that fact and get it done within hours rather than days afterwards.
Yeah, not quite as much fun as putting a pool in, but probably pretty good investment in the long run. You are listening to Walter Assey. He is the president of Renovco. This is the Home Improvement Show. And you can call and ask Walter your questions. 514-790-0800 is the number to call. You can text us as well, 514-790-0800. We do like to hear your voices, though, so that we can also ask follow-up questions. Let's go to the lines. Edwaria is calling about a heat pump. Hello, Edwaria. Hello, Edwaria.
Hello, maybe it's me.
Oh.
Okay. It's a general question.
Mm-hmm.
We have a heat pump that the compressor went. It was put in 2018. So it's still on the guarantee. So our initial call to the distributor was June 19th. The heat pump, the compressor got put in yesterday. Needless to say, it was very, very uncomfortable for us. I cannot fault the distributor too much because they answered our calls. They were polite. It's a fairly major distributor. But do we have any recourse? Because we're looking at a bill of, with tax, $1,800. Because of all the, well, the labor, the refrigerant, and anything like that, you know. I'm still more or less talking to the distributor. I haven't paid the bill yet. I was wondering, is there anything that we can settle with the distributor?
When you say the distributor, is the distributor also the installer, or
yes,
the distributor
the
is just the
the installer,
okay.
Distributor, they put it in 2018.
Okay.
And,
all right. So, I mean, it's all going to boil down to how your warranty was structured. Now, typically, some companies will give you on the compressor 10 years, let's say, on labor, on parts. But let's say 2 or 3 years on labor.
It's a Lennox, and it has a 10-year warranty on certain components, of which the compressor is one, but no labor.
Okay, that's the thing. So if it's no labor, it's going to be a very hard sale. I find $1,800 a bit steep, given the fact that the new heat pump will cost only about $5,000 usually on an average. A big portion of this is being charged in labor, which I don't understand. So one of the things you could do is contest the price of the labor. How long were they there for?
Mm-hmm. They 4.5 hours. The labor is $695. I've already talked about the labor because their first hour is exceeding the normal labor cost. They're charging me shipping and handling, which I don't have no intention of paying. And the rest, refrigerant, $495, vacuuming, and all these, what I would call in good French, les babelles, you know, that you add. But like I say, I have no problem with the company. They've been very good and answered my husband's multiple calls over the past 42 days.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. Sorry, Walter,
yeah.
Before you answer, we're going to stick a little pin. We are going to go to traffic, but Walter will answer your question right after we take a quick break. This is the Home Improvement Show. Walter, are you there?
I am there. Are you there?
I'm here. I've been here the whole time. I was worried I was going to have to answer some questions about heat pumps. My level of expertise.
You're good. You're good. I've spoken to you before. You're actually very good.
Yeah, not on heat pumps. All right. So let's answer Edwaria's question. And then we're probably going to have to break for news. But we have lots of calls on the line, Walter. So let's finish up with
all
that
right.
Heat pump question.
So it's very, very simple. I would try to contest the Freon gas in the vacuuming. That is a part of changing the compressor. So the material component of this should not be charged. And if that doesn't work, I would call Lennox directly.
and see under what conditions usually the warranty should cover when you're replacing a compressor in their policy. If they tell you that that part should be included, then you can ask them to reach out to their supplier themselves maybe and assist with that. But definitely something should be negotiated there.
Thank you very much. I'll let you go. You have a very busy morning. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much, Eduardia. All right, let's go to Howard, who's been waiting a very long time. Howard, thanks for your patience. You have a question about air conditioning.
Yeah, speaking of heat pump, about 2 years ago, I installed a brand new heat pump. What's happening now is that every once in a while, the pipes are freezing up. This is a central air conditioning unit, so I'm just looking for some advice of why that's happening.
So there's a lot of things. There's a couple of things you could maybe check yourself. Usually when you have that type of situation, it is because of some type of restricted airflow. So the airflow the problem can come from the coils outside. So let's say you have stuck pollen on it or debris, or it's surrounded by a lot of vegetation, maybe a cedar hedge that grew around it or vines or whatever, any of these things. You start with that, and that's something you can actually clean up yourself if that's the case. You look at any restriction on the coils. The second one would be the filter. So just make sure that you're changing the filter, specifically if you have a very dusty home or there was a construction site next to you that could have created more dust. That become more important, or you have done some recent renovation. So that would be the second thing that you could actually look into in order to eliminate these two things. The third thing, the third and the fourth thing are probably more for a professional, unfortunately. So you could also be missing the refrigerant. That will be one other thing that you should, that your technician should look into. Or you could simply have a faulty sensor or a relay. That's really the four things that are the most common. But the two other, the two last ones, unfortunately, would definitely require a technician to come and inspect.
Walter, what was the last one you said? A faulty what?
Sensor or relay.
Okay. The air conditioning does work. It only gets up to 23 degrees C. That's the coldest that I can get my house. Item 1 and 2 are cleared. That's okay. When the professional left, I was still having this problem. And his answer was, well, your air ducts are too constricted. In other words, there's not enough volume of air going through the ducts. He said, well, you have to install additional air ducts in the house. And then he left. I've been having the problem ever since. So
yeah. So what could have happened, actually, that's a good point. There's two things when it comes to ducts to look into. And again, one, you could look into yourself. If you haven't cleaned your ducts in a while, let's start with that because it's a simpler one. If you haven't cleaned your ducts in a while and you have a lot of debris in the ducts, that could actually affect the airflow. So that's one thing that you might want to look into to just ensure you don't have any restricted ducts. From the capacity perspective, he might have given you stronger heat pump than the capacity of the ducts. And that's, to be quite frank with you, a common mistake that installers do. It's always important not just to look at the size of the home, but also the size of the ducts. Because if they upgrade you by 1 ton, it can make a difference on how much air pressure goes into those ducts. So
okay.
You might be right.
Walter, sorry, I'm going to interrupt you because we're talking about ducts and making sure you have the proper ducts and the proper capacity for your air conditioning. Sounds like something very useful information. We're going to break for your CTV News update. Howard, we'll get you to stay on the line. We've got a couple of other callers, too. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show. Don't forget to call in 514-790-0800. And here is Tom Whalen with your CTV News update. All I like that music. It makes me think I'm like walking with my little toolbox. I'm walking to fix whatever is wrong with me, but not with me, with my home. This is the Home Improvement Show. Walter uses big tools, not just little screwdrivers. And he is on the line and he is answering your questions. 514-790-0800 is the number to call. It's also the text line. We've got a couple of callers on the line, so thank you for your patience. We're going to go back to you, Howard. You were asking a question about your AC freezing, and Walter, you were talking about ducts. Let's start with you about the importance of cleaning your ducts, but also the capacity. So you may have been oversold bigger ducts for your air conditioning or vice versa.
Not bigger ducts, vice versa. Bigger heat pump for the capacity of your ducts. Now, what you could do, Howard, is we tend to, in secondary areas, we tend to have vents partially closed or completely closed, including in the basement. One of the ways you could help the situation is by ensuring that all your registers are not partially closed. Everything is completely open. And if you have dampers on your system as well, make sure that you have no restrictions on the dampers. So open everything up. If you have registers that are restricted by furniture, move the furniture away and allow the flow of the air as much as possible. That might drastically help the situation because your other alternatives are a lot more intrusive, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Meaning you're going to need to either put bigger return ducts or inspect the ducting system to make sure there's no there's no restrictions there. There's no improper duct installation, or add more ducts or more vents. So there will have to be something a bit more elaborate to solve the problem if these things they don't create you a solution.
Okay, Howard.
I just one thing. I think Walter found something that it makes sense. The old unit was a 2-ton unit. They put in a 3-ton unit. And I said to the guy, I said, well, it was working fine with the 2-ton unit. And he said, well, this new unit is very efficient. It's 3-ton and it's very sensitive to airflow capacity. And he said, well, just add a couple of more ducts. By the way, there are no restrictions. I made sure of that. Mm. But as you said, Walter, it may be a unit that's way too over capacity for my house.
Yeah, to just add the ducts, I guess, and that should solve your issue.
Okay, thank you very much.
Appreciate Good it. Luck, Howard. Thanks Not for yet. The call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Tony. Also a question with heat pumps. Hello, Tony.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question for Walter?
I had called a little while back, and Walter suggested it's a Mitsubishi model. I'm just calling to ask, right now I have a 12,000 BTU unit. And they're suggesting I put in a 18,000 BTU. I don't know if that would make a difference or not. And they also suggested a Canair model, C28.
Yeah. My question to you is, how big is your home?
It's about 30 by 40, and I have open access to the basement. But the unit I had before that I have at this moment is working well. Was providing sufficient air conditioning.
Okay, and sufficient heat, I presume, as well, right?
I'm sorry?
And sufficient heat as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I was wondering if I should stick with the 12,000 or go upgrade it to the 18,000. Is there a difference maybe in the...
Well, let's look at it in both ways. And the caller before you could be a good lesson to learn. They are going to give you the 18,000, I mean, and the good news between 12 and 18,000, there's not a big difference usually in pricing, but it could be a problem if you don't have the adequate ducting. So the ducting is made too small, you will have the same problem as the previous caller. So
Walter, this is a wall mount.
Oh, okay. So no, we are not. Okay, that's fine. So that's a much better situation. Is it one? Are you installing a multiple head or a one head wall mount?
Just one wall mount for the entire house. No ducts.
Okay. And where is it being installed?
It's installed. I have an open concept living room kitchen area.
Okay. and you don't want that to, like in the bedrooms, it's okay where you know, you sleep and everything else?
Everything's
even
fine.
Even in very hot days?
No, everything's fine. It's good. Yeah.
I mean, if everything is fine, then you would go with the 12,000. It doesn't hurt you to go with it within 18,000, mind you. And I don't think the costing is much different. You know, the 18,000, you have it, you know, it's thermostat mounted, so it's not going to give more than you're going to ask it to for
right.
that general area. It's just going to work probably a bit less because now you're using one head that have to heat up the whole, to cool or heat the whole home, whereas in, you know, an 18,000 might do it a lot faster. That's only going to be the difference. I would go with an 18,000 because common you have 1,200 square feet, and it's only one head, so it's going to be a lot of stress on one head to supply for the whole home.
Okay. Also, on the subsidies, they have the differences in the amount of subsidy. Do you know why this happens?
What do you mean a difference in the amount of subsidies?
In other words, if I take the Mitsubishi, for example, the 12,000 BTU, they give me $450 rebate. If I take the Canair, they give me $1,176 rebate. There's differences in the rebate.
I was actually not aware of that. Did you ask the question if the distributor or the manufacturer takes in additional discounts for that?
Well, I didn't go
Maybe
into detail.
From the government? I think you should, because the government is not allowed to prefer a brand over another brand. If everything energy efficiency is there, then they're not supposed to, then that actually is. So I have a feeling it's more the supplier kicks in additional rebates or the distributor to kind of market one brand over another versus the government giving, you know, those preferences.
Yeah, no, I was quoted, excuse me, I was quoted the price and the rebate for each unit. And that's why I see a difference in the 12,000 BTU Canair. They give me 1,176. And the 12,000 Mitsubishi, they only gave me $450. So I was wondering if you're aware
so
of these.
They probably gave you additional discounts from the manufacturer or themselves to push one brand over another. That's my fear factor. It's for sure not coming from the government. That I can guarantee.
Okay, I'll double check on this because this wasn't specified.
Okay. All right.
Double check and let us know next week, okay?
I will. I'll check. Thank you very much.
Okay, Howard, thank you so much for the call.
That was Tony.
Yeah, sorry, Tony. Tony talking about heat pumps. We've been talking about heat pumps and ducts. We've got some questions about flooding and mice in the next segment of the show. You're listening to Walter Assey, and you can text us if you want, 514-790-0800. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Sue Smith with you, and we've got Walter Assey on the line from Runoff Co. Let's get back to those calls. We've got Michelle, who has been flooded twice. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Good morning.
Hi. What's your question for Walter?
I was flooded a couple of weeks ago. This is the second time this year. I'm at the point I don't know if I should repair things or move. My biggest issue is that the street has a sewer near my house and it doesn't drain properly. I've complained, they won't do anything. And I'm wondering what Walter would think of, I know it sounds ridiculous, but put like a speed bump at the top of my driveway to slow the water. It ends up, there's a lake in front of my house.
Oh, wow. Walter?
Yeah, so it's not crazy at all what you just said. A speed bump does help, and there are certain municipalities that have offered homeowners to install the speed bump themselves. If but not every municipality is going to have the same way. If that's not the case, then what I would recommend, you can have those, you can buy those removable speed bumps, and they come in different sizes, different lengths as well. So, you know, if you don't need it in a specific time, then you can just take it out and put it back on when needed. If you you have a downslope driveway, is that what it is?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes.
So let me ask you a few questions because, yeah.
I wanted to put another drain. I have two drains in front of, one in front of the door and one in front of the garage, and I want to remove those and put a drain the full width of the driveway. And I'm also considering epoxy floors.
Epoxy floors in the garage, you mean?
No, the whole basement.
So the water comes in through the garage and then floods the whole basement, am I correct?
It comes in through the garage. It comes in under the door. I've fix that. It comes in under the window. I am totally discouraged.
Under the window. When you say under the window, I'm a bit lost. The window from the garage?
No, the window. I have a window in the family room, and we've just discovered because they came and they cut like 2 feet of the wall or whatever, the gyprock, that there's no insulation in there, so they're going to insulate it and see if there's any crack from the foundation.
Okay. So, I mean, that might not be related. Just not to confuse things, the linear drain that you're talking about is a great idea, but it's not the only thing that should happen. So when we do it, what we recommend to do is we install two big drains. We connect 2 4-inch pipes to the pit, the garage pit in the garage.
Okay.
You connect it through a Y to the main pit. And then you put a backwater valve. You ensure you have a backwater valve installed.
I already have
one. So you don't have any. Beautiful. From there, we create another secondary drain to the back of the garage where another sump pump pit is installed.
Okay.
That pumps the water to the backyard.
Okay.
Okay. To a dry pit in the backyard. So what happens is the following. You're going to have this influx of water that's going to go down the garage. It's going to overflow your drains. At one point, if it's a crazy rainstorm, your drains are not going to supply enough, so it's going to start filling up. When it fills up only to a certain level, it drains toward the sump pump pit, which will act as a secondary draining station or pumping station. Now, in cases where the city sewer is back up, then that becomes your primary pumping station. So what you're trying to do, and what we are encouraging homeowners to do, is to try to be independent from the cities and the infrastructure of the city. There's a lot to spend. The city does not have the money to go and correct. They know they have problems. You know, they're aware of it. But they simply don't have the budget. So you have to kind of take the bull by the horns and do your own thing, or else you're going to suffer every year because those rainfalls are simply happening every year. So we can't say it's a freak storm anymore. It's not. So that would be the proper way to do it. Now, there are other things that are more extreme. There are, you know, the flood barriers that you could put on the garage door. They've been tested. They work great as well. But these ones are not very practical because you have to install them and remove them. So if you know there's a storm, you can install them and then you remove them after the storm. But there, you know, there's a lot of manual labor involved and a lot of babysitting, right?
Wow. I'm a little old
lady, though. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So if these speed bump combined with two linear drains, you go to a sump pump pit in the garage.
Right.
You pump the water out, and you should be. That should help tremendously.
And Are you a fan of the epoxy floors throughout the basement?
For one solution, yes. For another solution, no. So the problem with epoxy floors, in my opinion, is the level of humidity in the basement. So if you have an older slab that have no geotextile, you simply have too much humidity in your basement. And it's going to be cold in the winter. So it is good for a service area. You're coming in to do something and you're coming back out. But if you actually live in the basement,
No.
I'm not sure, you know, if you don't live in the basement and you use it as a secondary space, it's fine.
I only go there to do my laundry. That's it.
Yeah. So in this case, it's fine. I mean, it is one solution that you could look into for sure, specifically that you've been flooded many times. It's one solution for sure that you can look into.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your suggestions, and hopefully I will recover from this next one.
Hopefully you will.
Thanks so much for the call, Michelle. Boy, Michelle sounds so frustrated. I know we've heard that, Walter, so many times. This flooding can be so frustrating to deal with. But your message seems to be, as always, get ahead of it, you know, before the next rainstorm.
Absolutely.
Mm. All right. Well, that's all the time we have. I'm sorry, Walter, believe it or not, we had another caller calling about mice and we didn't get to it. So next week we're talking about mice, okay?
I guarantee.
You know, I want to talk about mice with Walter. All right. Sorry for the calls that we did not get to. You've all been very patient, and we apologize for the technical problems we had a little bit earlier as well. We'll be back with Walter. Walter, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
And we'll be back with Walter next week for the Home Improvement Show. I'm Sue Smith. Thanks for listening.